wasn't looking for you, wasn't lonely. Celebrating wine and culinary arts at San Antonio, Texas, the Culinaria San Antonio Festival is the setting for the last in our three-part series about this iconic Texan town. Alamo Beer Brewmaster James Hudek played tour guide for our culinary jaunt. We started by swinging by the Culinary Institute of America, where executive chef Zach Garza explains his strategy for producing some of the finest chefs in America.
I'm sure that you guys know cooking is not a business where you get rich.
You bet.
Let the secret out of the bag.
It's a passion. You have to have it.
So if I'm not giving you more than your $10 an hour wage, if I'm not giving you a larger fulfillment or satisfaction in your daily experience, then I'm not doing my
job. That's right.
And so it's very important to me. At the end of every day, I ask every cook before I leave or before they leave, whoever's leaving first, did you have fun today? Tell me one thing you learned today.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't tell me one thing they learned, then we go back to the drawing board. And the same is true for me. They'll come up to me and be like, what'd you learn today, chef? You got me.
Oh, damn, now I got to think.
But there's always something. You know, there's always something.
Now, just up the river from the Culinary Institute of America on the famed San Antonio Riverwalk, James took us to his favorite homage to New Orleans. It was Luke San Antonio. Staying true to Chef John Besh's Southern Louisiana and roots and preserving heritage and promoting local ingredients, his friend and executive chef, John Russ, is at the helm of Besh's first Texan expression of classic New Orleans fare.
So we are a New Orleans restaurant in San Antonio, and while we're both kind of on the same parallel of life, the mouth here would be a little bit spicier than the mouth in New Orleans. Like their food a little bit richer than in New Orleans. And that's hard for me to grasp because rich food I always thought was New Orleans. But the food here really requires a little bit more richness, a little bit more flavor than we can extract out of a lot of the stuff that we typically grew up in New Orleans with. Because the mouth is predominantly Hispanic in this town, the spices and the tomatoes go really absolutely well. Doing Creole food in this town is one of the simplest ways to reach our guests. Because with the Creole mouth, the Creole flavors, and the Creole techniques, we're cooking in a style that's a lot more similar and recognizable for our guests. And so putting food on the menu that's very, very seasonable, where the approach is as local as we can get it, as consistent as we can get it locally, is one of the easiest ways to have great food. When we're trying to do the same menu items day in, day out, 365 days a year, that becomes a little bit harder to truly have consistency. And so having the opportunity to change things up really makes it nice. Having the farmers to be able to support that has been the other step. Vetting on farmers is definitely not a process that we consume any time with. If they've got something good and they take money, we pay for it.
I see.
Over time, we build those relationships, which is really great. The Escobedos at South Texas Heritage Pork are some of our greatest friends in the industry. They grow the best pigs around.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and Kelly Escobedo are just tremendous people doing very passionate work. They really do incredible pig raising. Miss Julie Brawny, who does the vast majority of our vegetables, she runs a true family farm. They're on their parents' inherited land, and the only employees on the farm are their kids and themselves, and they produce more product than most people who have employees, and the quality of their product is just outstanding. I've got peaches in the cooler that came in yesterday that are just... Thank God we had hail damage on them, because they're ugly as sin, but they are the sweetest, juiciest peaches. And it's already in mid-May. We're already getting peaches.
It's peach time.
Exactly. And you don't hear about Texas peaches outside of Texas, because they don't make it outside of Texas.
You might could hear James purring in the background while John talked peaches on this one. It was all I could do not to let out a little purr for myself. John takes pride in sourcing local product, including James's Alamo Beer.
We have a very limited amount of tap space, and so we've decided to use all that tap space for Texas beers and as local as we can. Things that are cognizant to our locals, people would understand that we do a lot of the Southerly and some of the other ones. However, the Alamo beers are just so much easier to sell because they taste great with every single one, and they don't taste the same. The Maibock's very different than the GPA, and the flavors are outstanding. I had the Maibock on Sunday out at a picnic, and it was definitely my favorite Texas beer that's come around. And then I had three more.
And three more.
Yes. And the Maibock's not light on the alcohol, so that was about it for me.
What is the alcohol on there, James?
7. Singing songs sounding just like Elvis. Love me tender. Shake my pelvis. It is a strong bronze lager. It is perfect for, you know, shaking off the winter, getting ready for spring. It's just big and malty. It's a 90-day process, so it sits in a lager tank for quite a while. So by the time we filter it and put it on tap, it's very, very smooth. So you can't tell that it's 7% off.
It's in the process, like anything. The love is in the process.
The love is in the process.
Love is definitely in the process, and it shows with the care brewmasters and chefs alike have taken to create a solid culinary tradition in the Alamo City.
Compared to the rest of the country, Texas has been kind of behind the curveball. San Antonio in the state of Texas has been kind of behind the curveball. So we consider ourselves a very young beer market here. We don't have the amount of breweries, say, that Dallas or Austin have. There are only, 5 packaging breweries in San Antonio. Compare that to Austin, where they're probably close to 30 now. So therefore, it's very kind of maybe a little bit incestuous. It's tight-knit. Everybody knows each other. There are no really trends because we don't really make each other's beers. The beers that I make at Alamo are completely different than everybody else makes in the state of Texas. So we pretty much like to keep to our own styles and what we think we're all about.
And what we see on our side is, yeah, San Antonio is definitely the Mississippi of Texas. Behind the curve, it's a little bit slower than the rest. However, with being behind the curve, it's not like we're a bunch of guys in Podunk not knowing what's going on.
Right.
We've watched what everyone else has done and chosen the best ideas and kind of cherry-picked what's going through all the scenes, the food trends, a lot of the local the food laws that are kind of happening. The city has been great at deciding what's going to be good for us and not just jumping into a craze just to be with the rest of the country. The ideas that are coming out in the food and beverage and the beer world in this town are fantastic because they're educated enough to see what has gone on and picked up on the things that are working and that will work for San Antonio. You don't find a lot of failed projects in town. Since the time I've been here, there's been very few restaurants that have failed. Very few. And it's like in one hand in 4 years, the number of the restaurants in our group or size group that have failed because people are hungry for it, but they're also educating themselves on what the best new model is going to be. How is this going to work for us? What products are we going to choose? And so being behind the curve isn't always a bad thing in my life.
After a few beers with these two, it was time for James and I to get all gussied up for a culinary feast at the La Quintera Resort south of town that evening. And a special treat it was.
It's been hard for me to try to get out of my natural habitat at the brewery because we've been so busy for the last year and a half, just trying to keep up with demand.
Listen in as we hit the grand tasting and start with our buddy, Chef John Russ.
Chef Russ.
You having a good night?
Man, I'm having good. Just got here. This is excellent.
Thank you.
Cajun fried rice. What are you calling this?
Sure. Cajun fried rice is perfect. To call it anything else, you know, the shrimp etouffee, shrimp creole would just be, it would all work.
Right.
But it's the fried rice that really makes it. Because we crispy fry the rice and then fold it into like an etouffee base. It's got a lot of tomatoes. It's got a lot of other fun stuff.
So that's the crunch in it.
That's the crunch.
Love the crunch.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It makes it fun.
Yeah.
So what's the name of the dish?
At the restaurant, we do it with a little bit of blue crab from the Gulf right now. So we just call it Louisiana blue crab fried rice.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Alamo Bruin and Luke.
That's right.
Perfect pairing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we're standing here at the La Cantera booth, and they're making coffee and smoked bison short ribs.
Woo!
So, and it looks like they're serving it on a bed of polenta. Do you call it polenta or do you call it grits?
I think for this event, we might want to call it polenta.
Yeah.
But at home, it's a grit.
All right. Well, let's give it a whirl. What do you think?
Let's go.
Chef Arthur Martinez of the Omni San Antonio Hotel at the Colonnade put on a mighty fine spread.
Got a good variety going. So I have some nice Shiner quail. We have with a slice of jalapeno wrapped in bacon. It's placed on top of a chorizo potato galette. And it's topped off with some nice smoky tomato jam. So
tomato jam.
Right. Got a nice nice rustic flavors, nice look and everything. Then we also have our pork sopes. So fresh masa cakes that we made. We have the chote pork on top of there. Then we have a nice poche and corn slaw. It's great. And we also have our campfire s'more cupcakes. So those are a big hit. Some of my favorites to make. And then we also have Viking lemonade. So
what is that Viking lemonade?
The Viking lemonade, we use our rooftop honey moonshine that we made.
Okay.
And then we mix it with fresh lemon juice. So you have the nice sweetness from the honey, and the nice bitterness and everything from the lemon juice.
Fantastic.
It comes out really, really nice.
How could we not pass up Chef Zach Garza ceviche from his Culinary Institute of America's kitchen?
We're serving a ceviche tonight. Would you care to try a little?
We'd love some.
So we've got a mixto ceviche. It's got scallops, squid, and shrimp. I seasoned it with some black garlic. And we were talking earlier about trying to be local and seasonal. Peaches are fantastic right now. So we pulled out some local red flame peaches. Go ahead. Yeah, please help yourself.
All right.
True Texan form, the smoke wasn't hard to miss. James talks about this Texan cultural institution. Sorry, Californians, he didn't mean it.
Well, barbecue is something that is smoked, low and slow, indirect heat.
And is it a verb or a noun?
All of the above. Barbecue in Texas is a way of life.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's a culture. It's a... You meet people in Texas, if you like barbecue, there are people that don't like barbecue, and usually the people that don't like barbecue move back to California.
Chef Brian West of Smoked reveres whole animal barbecue so much, he introduced attendees to the hog's head.
We're doing whole hog heads, and we're turning them into conchinita pibil tacos.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to take it apart right now.
So... which Alamo beer would James pair with barbecue?
I'm going to say amber lager all the way. Nice Vienna-style amber lager.
What a night. The grand tasting wouldn't be complete without a bit of a Texan spirit.
Guys, this is John. He is with a distillery out in Dripping Springs called St. Louis Spirits, home of the Dripping Springs Vodka and Gin. I'm really glad I came by this booth because I'd never been by there before. I've probably driven by your place a hundred times. But they're serving some drinks here at the event tonight, a gin, a couple of vodkas, and they are excellent.
Our gin just received a gold medal last month at the 2016 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. And we've got 9 botanicals in this gin. So there's really 5 that are real prominent when you taste it. It's got lemon zest, lime zest, cardamom, juniper, and hibiscus. I can't tell you the other 4 or else I don't know. I may lose my job.
I completely understand. I don't tell people what's in my Belgian wine.
What's in your Belgian wine?
No, I'm not saying.
Yeah. Oh, come on. What happens in Culinaria stays in Culinaria.
What happens in Culinaria stays in Culinaria. That may not be completely true. James and I left Culinaria inspired to get in the kitchen for a little cooking therapy, to talk food, beer, and why Texas plays by its own rules. If a trip to San Antonio is on your list, make plans for next year's festival. Check out the year-round events at culinariasa.org. The fine folks at VisitSanAntonio.com can help you fill in the gaps of your Alamo City adventure. Need a road trip soundtrack? Why, Two Tons of Steel has been the backdrop for today's story. Another Texan original to keep a song in your heart. This has been Melissa Corbin of Corbin and the Dell. Continue the conversation by tweeting me at MD Corbin. Or check out what I've been up to since San Antonio on Instagram at Mel Corbin. Till next time, why don't y'all give me a holler?
Around my hands, chains around my feet. Nothing looks better.